The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? And yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs on your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Earlier on today, I was saying how amazing it is how often in the Bible we come across that little phrase, do not be afraid, do not fear. And it was the phrase, the one phrase used most often also by Jesus, have no fear, do not be afraid. And I heard one time or a read where somebody described fear as a crime against God, because if you go around living in fear and at the same time you say I believe in God, and at the same time you say I believe in God, how come you don't trust God? We call God our Father. So how can we be fearful of the Father? So trust in God, belief in God ought to wipe out all fear. So maybe that's why that phrase is very true. Fear is a crime against God. And it's amazing how dominant a force fear is in most people's lives. Some people are absolutely paralyzed by fear. Things they will not do because of fear, because of failure, because we are, so to speak, programmed that everything we do, we must succeed. No, that ought not to be our purpose in life. Our purpose in life ought to do our best, not about me or whether I fail or succeed, but we're, again, fearful of failure. There are so many fears in our life that I could spend all night here and all tomorrow describing the various fears in our lives. They are indeed many, many, many. And I want you to look at that this evening. Ask yourselves, do I have great fears in my life? What do they stop me from doing? Things maybe that I ought to be doing or I should be doing. Fears of what people think about us. That's a great fear in our lives. We want to win the admiration of everybody. How we appear to other people, how we look, how we speak. All these are dominated by fear. I remember reading somewhere where there was a research done on what are our greatest fears. And Probably you might think, well, the greatest fear most people have is the fear of dying. No, it's not. Strange to say, at the top of the list comes the fear of public speaking, saying anything in public. Well, I can understand that fear, because I remember when I was training to be a priest, and when on a Sunday, as I am doing now, the priest would get up to stand up to give a homily, a cold shiver would go down my back, because I thought, I really want to be a priest, but I can never ever get up and give a homily. I'd be terrified. Thankfully, and thanks to God, I seem to have overcome that fear to the extent that at the moment, for example, I feel very relaxed. And so courage is the opposite in some ways to fear. And if ever we needed courage, we need courage at this present time. The world seems to be in chaos. If we look at this country here, all the anger and the chaos that's taking place at the moment, we are insistently and consistently, I meant to say, being lied to. To the extent we don't know who to believe or what to believe. When we look to our leaders for guidance, really today we don't know whether to believe them or not. What is said one day is contradicted the next day. I never said that, or that's not what I meant. Or when I said that, I didn't really mean it, I was just joking. But at the time, I really meant it. That's what is you hear. And so we need to stand up and be counted. And so look at where we are today. We are Catholics, and the question is in the gospel that we've just been listening to, do I really believe in the gospel? And more so, do I live the gospel? Do I live the gospel? Or is there something I pay lip service to, but it doesn't make any great difference in my life? And so I become part of the system. By that I mean the system that we live in the Western world, and probably nowhere more than in this present country, is to be successful, to make money and more money and more money. Money seems to be the dominant force in most people's lives. And anything that interferes with that is bad. And so our whole attitude to life is programmed by that factor. For example, the things we do that we're not aware of and maybe do not think about. A lot of people will vote for a certain party because they're against abortion, for example. Well, I'm against abortion, but I'm pro-life. And a lot of people who are against abortion are not pro-life. They're pro-birth, but they're not pro-life. And so, for example, if we are pro-life, how can we support somebody who denigrates people, disrespects people? If I don't respect people and regard everybody as equal to me and no better than I am or no worse than I am, and I don't practice that in my life, how can I be pro-life? If I build walls to separate people, to keep people out. If I support a policy where little children are snatched from their mother's arms or their parents' arms and locked up, and the parents don't know where they are, and sometimes will never see them again, how can I be pro-life? How can I be pro-life? And yet, many people today support that system in this country. I don't see how you can equal that with saying I'm pro-life, or I'm living the gospel, or I'm living to the way Jesus wants me to live. The whole world agrees that universal care should be a right for everyone without exception. Except here in this country, where one particular party does not agree with that. There's no need for me to name that party. You know who I'm talking about. So how can you be pro-life if you deny healthcare to people? Surely that's a basic right. And there are people in this country who are suffering and who need to see a doctor or who need to visit a hospital, and they can't. Why? Because they can't afford it. Is that being pro-life? Well, you can answer that. I don't have to answer that for you. Now, I know as I'm saying these things, I'm probably making a lot of people angry, or they're not agreeing with what I am saying. But I'm not saying anything. I'm just living the gospel. I'm trying to live the gospel. I'm trying to listen to what Jesus taught us to do. Why was Jesus crucified? Was he crucified because he did something bad? No. He was crucified because he was a good man. And very often we don't want to hear, or we don't want to know. We don't want to be part of people who are good and do the right thing. Because such people don't make us uncomfortable at times, because it's a judgment on us, where we are and how we live. I find for a long time, and this is being honest and truthful, for a long time in my life as a priest, I preached on what I thought people would like to hear, rather than preaching what was in the gospel. And unfortunately, that's how many priests are today. You play to the crowd. Well, that's not what I was called to do as a priest. I was called to be honest and truthful. And I have a privilege, and it is a privilege, of standing in a church each Sunday and interpreting what I read in the gospel, and hoping that you will listen and have the courage to look into your own heart. And if anybody is upset by what I say, well, ask yourself, why does what he say make me feel upset? Is it because it makes me feel uncomfortable? And I know that I'll probably get some emails or letters, angry ones, not agreeing with what I have said today. But my reaction will be, I will be pleased to receive them, because at least I know I'm making some mark and I am preaching what Jesus wants me to say rather than what I think I ought to say. And what I feel Jesus is saying to me and consequently to you is, he's not telling me he wants me to be successful. His life, by any standards, was a failure. He ended up on a cross, crucified. But what Jesus wants me to be, my calling in life, and your calling in life, is to be the person that God wants you to be. Not the person that you think you should be, but rather the person that God wants you to be. And if that is your purpose every day of your life, and you trust in God, then I think you'll enjoy a new happiness and a new joy.